Folks who got in my way didn't live to be sorry. Listen close. I'm trying to say a couple of things here. I'm 800 miles from the edge of the map. I won't stop now. I can't. It was one of the longest speeches I've ever made, outside reading to the men from the annals. Your problem is those 800 miles, Cap. The other 7,000 were a stroll in the country. The Prabhrindra said something short. Swan nodded, but did not translate. I looked at Frogface. He told me,
"Glittering stone."
"What?"
"That's what he said, Chief. Glittering stone. I don't know what he meant."
"Swan, it's a local expression. The walking dead is the closest way to say it in Rosian. It has something to do with old times and something called the Free Companies of Katavar, which was bad medicine back when." I raised an eyebrow. "The Black Company is the last of the Free Companies of Katavar, Swan." He gave me a sharp look, then he translated. The prince chattered back. He stared at One Eye's victim as he did.
"Cap, he says he supposes anything is possible. But a returning company ain't been spotted since his granddaddy's granddaddy was a pup. He wonders, though. Says maybe you're real. Your coming was foretold."
Quick glance at Frogface, with a scowl, like the imp was a traitor.
"And the Shadow Masters have warned him against dealing with you, though that would be the natural inclination, considering the devastation and despair spread by the fanatics of old."
I glanced at Frogface. He nodded. Swan was striving for exactitude. Lady said, "He's playing games, Croker. He wants something. Tell him to get to the point."
"That would be nice, Swan."
He continued translating.
"But yesterday's terror means nothing today. You are not those fanatics. That was seen on the river, and Trogotaglios will bow the neck to no one. If the pestilence in the south fears a band of freebooters, he is willing to forget the ancient scores and tend to those of his own time. If you too can forget."
I didn't have the foggiest what the hell he was talking about.
"Croker," Lady snapped, catching the scent of what was in the back of my mind almost before I did. "We don't have time for you to indulge your curiosity about the past. There's something going on here. Tend to it before we get our butts in a sling."
She was turning into one of the guys for sure.
"You getting the idea where we stand, Swan? You don't really figure we think running into you and the woman up there was by chance, do you? Talk me some plain talk."
Some not-so-very plain talk took a while. Darkness came, and the moon rose. It climbed the sky. The operators of the grove became exasperated, but were too polite to ask their ruling prince to bug off. And while we stayed, so did the scores who had come out to look at us.
"Definitely something going on," I whispered to Lady. "But how do I dig it out of him?"
The Prabhrindra played down everything he said, but the presence of the city fathers shrieked that Taglios was approaching a perilous crossroads. An undercurrent in what I heard told me the prince wanted to spit in the face of calamity. Willow tried to explain.
"A while back, and nobody sure exactly when, because nobody was looking for it, what you might call a darkness turned up in a place called Piteous, which is like 400 miles southeast of Taglios. Nobody worked.